When the Intelligence Identities Protection Act was written, its authors were hardly picturing it might be used to prosecute top officials in the White House. The current grand jury has been considering that very possibility in the case of CIA operative Valerie Plame. To understand how this came about, you have to go back to 2002, when the administration was building its case for invading Iraq. As part of that case, U.S. and British intelligence sought to prove that Iraq was working on a nuclear bomb. NPR's David Green reports.
3 years ago, Joseph Wilson was a diplomat with experience in the Middle East and Africa. He had been the top State Department official in Baghdad in 1990 under the first President Bush. He later served as U.S. ambassador to the nation of Gabon. After the September 11th attacks, the CIA sent Wilson on a special mission to Niger. Vice President Dick Cheney had seen a report that Niger was selling uranium to Iraq and asked the CIA to check it out. Wilson reported back that he didn't think any sale had taken place. But the American public didn't hear about that at the time. What they did hear was their president talking ominously in a primetime speech in Cincinnati about the risk posed by Iraq.
America must not ignore the threat gathering against us. Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Ambassador Wilson's conclusions notwithstanding, the White House then drafted the President's State of the Union address early in 2003. Before a joint session of Congress, he said he had new evidence that Saddam Hussein had aggressively tried to acquire uranium.
The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
The case for war was building. On NBC's Meet the Press, Cheney brushed aside findings from Mohammed El-Baradei at the International Atomic Energy Agency, who said Iraq did not have a nuclear weapons program. Saddam Hussein, Cheney said, had been trying for years to build a weapon.
And we believe he has, in fact, reconstituted nuclear weapons. I think Mr. El-Baradei, frankly, is wrong. And I think if you look at the track record of the International Atomic Energy Agency in this kind of issue, especially where Iraq's concerned, they have consistently underestimated or missed what it was Saddam Hussein was doing.
Several days later, the invasion of Iraq began. But soon, questions about the uranium bubbled back to the surface. In July, Joseph Wilson wrote in the New York Times that he had traveled to Niger in 2002 and concluded that it was highly unlikely a sale of uranium to Iraq took place. The same day, he appeared on NBC's Meet the Press.
My judgment on this is that if they were referring to Niger when they were referring to uranium sales from Africa to Iraq, that information was erroneous, and that they knew about it well ahead of both the publication of the British White Paper and the President's State of the Union address.
The White House was forced to acknowledge that the President's line in his State of the Union address had been based on British intelligence that may have been flawed, and the White House was not pleased. Wilson had undercut the primary rationale for the war. He had also sided with those in the CIA who had long been at odds with Cheney and others in the administration over Iraq. The White House was at pains to counter any suggestion that Cheney had been responsible for sending Wilson to Africa.
I don't know Joe Wilson. I've never met Joe Wilson.
The vice president was speaking on NBC.
And I don't know who sent Joe Wilson. He never submitted a report that I ever saw when he came back.
As part of their campaign, officials in the administration told reporters that Wilson got his Africa assignment from the CIA through his wife, who worked there. So when Wilson went public with his mission, his wife's CIA role was made public as well. David Green, NPR News, Washington.